The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Sean Azzaro, and you are listening to the Reaching for Real Life podcast.
And welcome to the Reaching for Real Life podcast. Yay! Pastor Sean Azzaro, we have a studio audience.
Well, that's right. I have three grandchildren, Rylan, Renly, and Judah Shepherd, happen to be here in the studio because their mom is late picking them up.
Exactly. So welcome to the show. One more time for the studio audience. Good job, guys.
But Judah is intentionally doing like two little claps.
Yeah.
And a minute ago, he goes, I am not going to clap.
Well, that's because he's got a big old Slurpee in between his paws there, you know?
I take him to QT just to... I'm that grandpa.
You juice him up. You can get him all sugared up, huh? That's nice. Mom's going to pick him up in a few. And
they'll be bouncing off the van.
Perfect timing.
Inside walls of the van, yeah.
There it is.
I'm sorry, did you point to her?
No, I didn't point to her.
The rules were very simple.
Pastor, I have a feeling that you might have hung out with these guys at Thanksgiving. Was it a nice time there?
Oh, yeah, we had a great time. We had a great time. Guys, did you have a good time?
Yeah!
They got to see baby cousins. They got to eat together with all the family. We had a blast.
Yeah,
had a great time.
That's very sweet. Well, guess what? Tomorrow's December 1st here, and what's going on in the church there? I imagine there's going to be a production of some sort going on.
Oh, we have all kinds of stuff. For the church, Christmas Eve is our big kind of thing that we do. It's carols and candlelight.
How many years have you been doing the candles and carolight?
Carols and candlelight. Carols before candlelight, Baron. I mean, I can't believe you don't know that. No, we've been doing that, shoot, man. Almost, I mean, we started
20
out.
Years?
20 years, yeah, probably 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's always different. It's always different, but we always have the candle lighting. And we really do intentionally try to have it be not some big, extravagant production. We try to have it be a simple, excellent, but a simple family celebration before you head off for the holidays.
Now, last time I checked the manger scene, the birth wasn't that big of a production.
No, that's right. They did not get the producer or director they wanted, so they went with something very simple.
Yeah, cave.
Cave. Yeah, exactly.
Nice. Well, what's going on, though, with the kids here? You know, the grandkids, are they performing? Usually you've got to have the kids play somewhere.
No. Well, one, my granddaughters are doing, they have their ballet recital in the amphitheater.
Oh, cool.
It's his local school, Mary Lou's dance studio, but they have so many kids, so many classes, that when they bring all the parents, it'll be a couple thousand people here.
Wow. See?
And so they have it here at the amphitheater. That's awesome. Our school, River City Believers Academy, next Tuesday, which is the 7th of December, right here is River City Believers Academy's Christmas program, and the kids will all be involved in that. They all go to our school. So, yeah, there's all kinds of stuff going on. It's going to be a blast.
That's cool. Well, again, Christmas Eve, though, is the candles and candlelight.
Candles and carolight is what I think you meant to say. It's carols and candlelight. This is the worst promotional spot ever. Carols and Candlelight will have service 7 p.m. on the 23rd, and then 4 and 5:30 on the 24th.
That's what I wanted to hear. Have you ever done a Christmas record?
I did years ago.
Yeah.
Years ago. Literally in my office. We did some like recording maybe in a spare bedroom.
Yeah.
We did it years ago, and it actually was pretty cool.
What's your go-to Christmas carol?
Oh, man. How do you choose?
I know.
I mean, Silent Night is every year. That's a non-negotiable. I love O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. I love O Holy Night. Love that?
That's my favorite. The Fall on Your Knees part gets me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, hit me with the Fall on Your Knees right now.
I'm not going to just sing. I got a cold. I'm not going to sing.
All right.
A cold. Wait a minute. Aren't those coronaviruses? Oh, okay. No. I have some type of coronavirus, I guess.
Oh, that's cool. Come on, Sean, one time, just one time.
Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angels' voices, oh, no.
A little rolling R you had in there, too.
Well,
man, that was great. Oh, man. All right. Well, again, it's going to be glorious. And again, thank you for doing this tradition. The families come and enjoy this every year.
We have a really good time. Have an excellent time.
All right, so we talked about music here. Let's talk movies, Pastor Sean,
because
you can't have Christmas and the family without, you know, teeing up a bunch of great Christmas movies. My go-to is It's a Wonderful Life and Family Man. I think we share that one.
Oh, Family Man, of course. That's a great one.
As soon as the music starts, I start crying.
Oh, it's just a great message. It's a great, you know, fun movie, a lot of good bits and one-liners and things like that. There's so many. I mean, Elf is, my gosh.
Modern-day classic.
Right? It is a modern-day classic. We love, you know, It's a Wonderful Life. We love both It's a Wonderful Life, The Miracle on 34th. There's two versions. There's the original with Natalie Wood, and then there was a more recent one made, which actually isn't that much that recent now.
Yeah.
But they're both excellent, so we like both of those.
Right.
Charlie Brown Christmas.
Well, of course. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Oh, the breathing. The breathing on the... Yeah, exactly.
That's the best part.
Good detail. But yeah, love all those.
All right. Well, so I don't know if you heard this, Pastor Sean, but there's a big, big thing happening in the movie theaters, and it's the Chosen. They're putting out a special Christmas movie, if you will. It's the birth of Jesus. Their version of it is seen through the eyes of Mary and Joseph.
Oh, man.
And I don't know if they're playing shepherds or what, but it says it features Phil Wickham and For King and Country, your boys.
Exactly. That's going to be great. First of all, I guess we're assuming everybody knows what the Chosen series is. Okay, maybe you're listening to this and you haven't. Dallas Jenkins, Jerry Jenkins, you know Jerry Jenkins, the author who wrote the Left Behind series.
Right.
His son, Dallas Jenkins, is a television producer. And he did a crowdsourced telling of the story of Jesus, creative telling of the Gospels called The Chosen.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing about it, and you know, first season, I just got hooked. And the idea was they would give you, and you need to understand that they're making up a fairly believable backstory on the different characters. So it begins, you learn kind of the backstory on Nicodemus.
Right.
And it just really brings some things to life and gives you, it's taking creative license, which, by the way, think about that. That's a dangerous thing when you're talking about the scripture.
Right.
Right. You don't take creative license with the scripture. To take creative license with potential backstory, I think, is a different matter. And it's really well done.
Which is rare to say, if I hate to be that guy, but I'm a little jaded. That it's been such a long time since I've seen something that I'm like, I'll recommend that.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, that one of the things, and I just respect these guys because they crowdsourced it. In other words, they literally made the thing. They raised the money for it. You know, you're given the opportunity when you watch it. You know, to make a donation for it. They don't charge you for it, but they give you opportunity. We, of course, did. And so, you know, it's like you have no idea what the quality is going to be because so often the quality on Christian productions, and please understand, it's because you're competing against Hollywood and without a Hollywood budget.
Right.
You don't have Hollywood talent. You don't have Hollywood resources, and it's just very hard to compete. When we were in Los Angeles, we went and saw at the theater, for the first time I'd ever seen it in the theater, Les Miserables.
Okay.
And I was so moved because it's such a redemptive story, all hinging on the love of a priest who totally models forgiveness for the main character, Jean Valjean, and how it changes his life. The grace of God manifest in the life of this priest, changes the life of this character, and how he lives a life differently because of that. And I left that production going, man, why can't we do more of this? And again, I love The Fireproof and all those shows and everything like that, but they very much are kind of the church scene. We got to present the gospel, and we got to have the people get saved in this, which is great, except it's generally, I think there's a way to be more, leave some open-ended and to be a little more nuanced and a little more creative.
Right.
You know, so that it's a better story and it's a better drawing in, but that equally points points you towards the Lord, points you towards the gospel, points you towards Jesus,
right,
without it being, you know, just kind of a fairly obvious kind of storyline.
Oh, the college professor gets saved at the end because the debate, he lost the debate.
Yeah. And hey, understand something. You're right now, some of you guys are getting mad. I love that show. God's not dead. You know,
I wasn't talking about that. It was a Hallmark movie.
Okay.
They're all the same.
Yeah, but it really is. That's a great example. Hallmark movies.
Yeah.
Right. Now, I know some of you like it, but if you're really into movies and into art and into storytelling, it's like, okay, that's not the, you can see the exact same story, just told with different characters and a little different twist. And, you know, that's fine. But too much of Christian art has been like that. And one of the amazing things about The Chosen, which is what we're talking about, is that it was different. You know, it really did an awesome job of drawing you into who these people were. Mm.
Sean, right before this podcast was starting, we were talking about what we were going to do today. You were talking to the kids there, and one of your grandkids said, I don't like that or whatever like that. And you commented, I don't know if we can go there. You kind of said, well, sometimes the stories that happen in the Bible and in the movies, it's not what's in the Bible.
Well, that's where you have to be careful. And it's a great point, Baron. Whenever you say, I'm going to take creative license with the Word of God.
Yeah.
You now begin to skate out on thin ice. Because some of the chosen stories, it's like, okay, it's dependent on one very important fact that I don't think you can assume. It assumes all your people know this is not the Bible.
Right.
It assumes all your people are well-versed in the Word of God and can go, wow, that's interesting. I wonder why they went that direction, because that's not what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. And you can't assume that. In fact, you probably can assume the opposite for most people. And so that's where in the second season, they took a few more liberties on some things, and it makes you kind of go, not for you, because you know. Right. And you can go, well, no, that's not. They took a creative license there. They emphasize something different than what the Scripture does. But yet there's a whole lot of people watching who they don't.
Right.
And I just feel so strongly about the story of Jesus. I feel so strongly about how he is portrayed. In the first season, I feel like they did a very good job of creating colorful backdrops and stories of possibilities, but in the actual encounters, staying very close to what the Scripture presented. Mm-hmm. In season two, I felt like they took some more liberty in embellishing. And so that's just one of those cautionary things where if you're watching a show like that, which I recommended it to all kinds of people, it was really wonderful. You just need to be careful.
Yeah.
Some people look at it, you know, there are people who think any imagery of God or of Christ is idolatry, right? And they look at movies like that, making movies that in any way take any creative license as you're creating another image. You know, I don't necessarily hold that view. Mm-hmm. But I know there are those who do, and it's because they take so seriously how we understand and know God, and that is through the Word of God, that's through how he has revealed himself. So when artists take liberty, it's something to think about.
And Hollywood's tried that. They've gone big, like that Noah movie, and I think it had Steven Spielberg's name to it. And then
that's all true.
Oh, exactly. But people who don't know the word.
Yeah, the big rock monsters.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, that's talk about creative. But again, if you don't know the word, you think, oh, well, is that in there? Well, that's why it's just a story. That's not real.
Yes, exactly right.
That's the danger.
And Baron, that is the danger. All of a sudden, it's just, well, it's just another story. Just another story. Oh, there's different opinions. It didn't really happen. And that's where you go, okay, that's a problem.
Yeah.
You know. And so while I love the chosen story, I love what they did. I love, you know, the way they did so many of the things. That's just a caution. As you watch, you know, ask questions. Hey, is that what the Word of God really says? Mm-hmm. Because we're not talking about a fictitious character. We're not talking about just folk stories here. We are talking about Jesus. We are talking about the Gospels. We're talking about the actual accounts of the life of Christ. And so when you deviate or you emphasize differently, you know, when Jesus was really concerned about and walking in these things, and then you add other things because, oh, that's so socially sensitive. That's what our culture wants to see Jesus be about. Yeah, I'm not about recreating Jesus to please our culture.
Right.
You know, Jesus is who he is. And he said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. And I'm going to divide. And he did, you know, and he does today.
What do you hope to see in this film, Sean? What do you hope the bottom line will be when people walk away from this film?
Well, what I would love people to see and feel and marvel at all over again is Emmanuel, God with us.
Oh, that's good.
You know, just Emmanuel, God with us. And I think a producer, director, as skilled as Dallas Jenkins is, and a team that has really been as excellent as his team has been, I hope they just tell the story. And I understand, when I preach, I often creative storytell, but I make sure it's obvious. Imagine if it had been like this. And it's for the purpose of creating a juxtaposition and making a point. Or he might have come to Jesus after this. You know, we speculate about why Nicodemus was there at night. And I think that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Because, you know, we're speculating. Mm-hmm. We're just putting some skin on it. Well, that's what Dallas Jenkins did with Nicodemus in that first season. So I expect some creative storytelling. I expect a little bit of something on the shepherds, on the wise men, on, you know, what Mary and Joseph went through. The innkeeper is more than just, you know, well, there was no room in the inn, you know,
right.
But we actually meet this person. So I'm fine with all that. I just want, at the end of the day, to know that we are talking about Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. That's what I'd love everyone to come away going. As I say every week when people leave River City Community Church, what an awesome God they serve. Mm. You know, I'd love people to leave the movie theater going, we have an amazing God.
And God is still with us.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly right.
Well, they got 300 million views in over 100 countries with this chosen thing. They raised $1.5 million in sales in the first 12 hours. A lot of people like this.
Yeah. Baron, I feel like in the Christian world, there's a hunger for something that represents something that speaks our language, because technology, art, media, that's our language. Mm-hmm. Something that speaks our language, but that paints the picture of Jesus, because I will tell you, the Jesus character depicted in the Chosen series is really fantastic.
Yeah,
and it just makes you go, man, that there's so many things of the Jesus I see and love in the scripture that I see and love in the way he's depicted. And again, in the second season, they had him doing some things that maybe we'd like Jesus to do rather than what he actually did.
Right.
Which, again, I whenever you start doing that, I'm like, okay, now you're in a dangerous territory, because a whole lot of people don't know the difference. Mm-hmm. Oh, see, I knew Jesus was like that. Well, no, he's not actually like that.
Yeah.
You know, he's like this.
So, Pastor Sean, when The Passion of the Christ came out, Mel Gibson's film depicting the end of Jesus there, the crucifixion, et cetera, did your church get involved with that? Were you on board opening night?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, we were very – The Passion was a powerful and unique experience. I mean, literally so realistic and so connected to what the scripture teaches that you had to be careful. Little kids couldn't go.
Yeah, no, it was rated R. Just,
yeah, because of the brutality of the beating and the crucifixion.
Good job, though?
Oh, I thought it was excellent job.
Yeah.
Excellent job. And again, creative license, you know, the idea of the enemy with this little baby walking through the Garden of Gethsemane while Jesus is praying, and some of the spiritual dynamics that they created. I believe it was all very direct and close to the scripture. And the fact that the whole thing was in Aramaic and, you know, with subtitles was just, and that it held you the whole time.
Yeah.
It's really amazing.
Yeah. We have to get Jim Caviezel's known to, again, continue to share his faith in all this. I don't know if you've seen interviews with him.
Oh, yeah.
Very powerful stuff, too.
Well, it was almost a career killer for him.
True.
Because once you do something like that, and he did such a great job, and once you are depicted as Jesus of the Bible, you know, it's kind of hard to go and be the Count of Monte Cristo again, right?
Yeah. Well, I dare say we need to pray for this guy who's the current guy as Jesus, because people go look at him and go, Jesus. And I'm just a fallen guy just like
right,
you.
Right. And we need to, that's where graven images and idolatry.
Yeah.
Okay. That guy isn't Jesus. You know, wanting to have a recording of that guy praying for you is messed up.
Mm. And is that a thing?
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of stuff, you know, or wanting to have that guy particularly read the scripture to you or whatever. You just need to be careful. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's an actor. Right. And if we can't make these delineations, then we're not ready to take something like this in.
Right.
You know, we need to know, no, the scripture is the word of God. Jesus is Jesus. He is at the right hand of the Father. He is ascended, and he will come again one day. That's Jesus. This is an actor depicting it with great skill and some wonderful storytelling to give backstories and context, but depicting Jesus' days here, walking here on earth in the Gospels.
Yeah. And it's a miracle story.
Yeah.
And by the way, we're in the middle of Hanukkah right now, too. Another miracle story.
Very much so.
We're in a little week of miracles going on.
Yeah, right? No kidding. And I think that's something that we have to, more than thinking about, I like this storytelling, I like that storytelling. The whole point is, do I believe in Jesus? Do I truly believe he is who he said he was, he can do what he said he could do, and that he has something that he wants for me? And the whole point is not, do I tune into the latest episode? The point is, will I surrender my life and follow Jesus? Because the same invitation he makes, and that's one of the things about the first season that's so great, is him calling the disciples, and you get to see their backstories, and then that moment when they come into the story of Jesus. Well, he's extending that call to you. Come, follow me. And how are we doing it following Jesus?
Where do we start, Pastor Sean?
Well, discipleship, as we share here all the time, discipleship is not easy, okay? Because surrendering your life to the leadership of another is never easy. But it's fairly simple. Listen for his voice and do what he says. We listen for his voice through the word of God and prayer, and then we walk in obedience. And I'm just telling you, if you're sitting here listening and all of a sudden you'd recognize, hey, there's just in my life kind of a spiritual funk or a spiritual deadness. Is there an area of disobedience? Because what it does is it creates this barrier. It's not like God doesn't respond to you, God doesn't hear your prayers, but it's that you have literally put up a wall between you and God. And the quickest way to open that line of communication is to repent and say, Lord, I want to follow you. And if there's an area where you know you're not walking in obedience, then repent and say, I'm going to turn and follow you, Jesus, and do it. Because that's where the word of God comes to life and the power of God is made real.
Pastor Sean, can you make a recommendation on where I start in the word? You said God speaks to you through the word. If I'm a new believer, where do I start?
Well, I love the Gospels.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
Start by watching the Chosen series. No. For you listening to the Lord and walking in the Lord and following Jesus, I recommend, I love starting in the Gospels. I mean, there's other, the book of Romans is really important. Genesis is key, important
big time
book. The Gospels, and pick your gospel. Many people suggest the book of John, uh-huh, because it has John chapter 3, salvation. It has so many, the way John presents Jesus. It's a great book because it's not so much a detailed life story, and he doesn't even necessarily do everything chronologically. He does some of it that way, but he does it thematically. Mm-hmm. And so the book of John is a great place to start just to get to know Jesus.
Yeah. Awesome, Pastor John. All right, last question there. How do I get to know Jesus? How do I get saved?
Well, I mean, Baron, that is a question that people ask when the Lord begins to deal with their heart and they begin to know, what should I do to be saved? Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. And when I say be baptized, I'm really talking about the original meaning of the word, be immersed in Jesus. Mm-hmm. I do believe in water baptism. We believe in water baptism. And so after you've professed faith in Christ, the public confession of faith is water baptism. That's an important first step of obedience. But very simply, recognize you're a sinner. My way's not working. My way is not what God designed me for. He has something much better. I am going to repent, which means to turn, and I'm going to turn to him. And I'm going to, acknowledge my need. Lord, forgive my sins. I need you. I thank you for your life that you gave on the cross for my sins. The beauty of the cross is that the scripture says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. Somebody had to pay the just and right penalty for sin, and that's what Jesus was doing on the cross. He paid the penalty for our sins so God could be just, but he could also be fully merciful. Justice is satisfied in Jesus. Mercy and grace is extended to us. And that's the beauty of the cross. So we accept that free gift. Lord, I accept that. But what happens then is, because our sins are forgiven, he fills us with his Holy Spirit. And that's where following really begins. I'm immediately filled with his Spirit, and I begin to now walk with him every day. It's not just forgiving the sins of the past, but it's forgiving the sins as I move forward and leading me in a different kind of life, leading me in the life he created me for. And it's every day follow Jesus.
Awesome. Pastor Sean, I don't want to wait for Christmas Eve to come to hear what's going on at River City Community Church. Are you in the middle of something on Sundays?
Oh, yeah. In fact, we just wrapped up Ephesians and we're starting Prepare the Way. Prepare the Way. We're going to be looking at some of the stories surrounding the Christmas story and how God was asking people to prepare their hearts and their lives for Jesus Christ. And we're going to see how that is relevant for us and how we have ways we can prepare ourselves for him.
Every Sunday, 9:30, 11:30?
9:30, 11:30, River City Community Church, 16765, Lookout Road.
Look out!
Lookout Road, across from Retama Park.
Be there! That's cool. And of course, Carols and Candlelight starts on the 23rd.
Yes, Thursday the 23rd at 7 p.m. And then on the 24th, Christmas Eve, 4 and 5:30. And then, of course, Christmas is that Saturday. That Sunday, we're not having services here. So yeah. If you're listening, spread the word. We are not having services here. We are doing a live stream event or an event that we'll be streaming out. Actually, it's going to be from my home,
from
our living room.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's going to be kind of from our living room to your living room. So.
And we're going to watch The Chosen on your video stream.
No, we're not.
No? Okay. Wait, watch this.
No, it'll be a neat time of worship and something really kind of geared towards the family in their living room. It's after Christmas, everything's settled. Just a quiet kind of time of worship and then just a brief reflection, but just something that you and your family can enjoy and worship together on that Sunday, the 26th.
That's a great idea. Well, if it's not too soon, Pastor Sean, Merry Christmas.
Baron, it's not too early. Tis the season.
Now, yeah.
By the way, if you were doing that before Thanksgiving, okay, you're playing Christmas music, you're saying you got your lights up, so that's out of bounds. Shame on you. Okay, that's offside. But it is official. It's after Thanksgiving.
Right.
It's, you know, it is fine. Merry Christmas to you. And if you're listening, Merry Christmas season to you. I hope you have an amazing time. And do that. Share the joy, the love, and the peace of Christmas this entire season and see what God does if we'll just make ourselves available to him.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.